I'd like to tell you that I was gone Friday for a family wedding as one of our nieces got married in Milwaukee. And she's great. Always loved Kate and happy she tied the knot.
Did she pick a winner?
Seems like she did, yeah. Seems like a good dude. And I don't know. I just hope those kids are super happy. They had a wonderful wedding. It was big fun.
Dry?
No. Come on. That was only me.
Okay, good.
Times have changed, bro. And, you know, in retrospect, took some wrong turns along the way that, you know, you only get one shot at a wedding. Well,
there's no doubt there'd be an old-fashioned station.
Check that.
Yeah.
Some have multiple shots at a wedding. I, to this point, have only had one shot at a wedding and made some mistakes along the way. Cheaped out on a limousine, by the way. I regret that.
You would have had an old-fashioned station.
Yeah.
At your now wedding.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Would not have been so uptight about what olds thought about my
exactly.
wedding, but at the time, very uptight.
Didn't know any other way.
Partly because they were probably funding a good portion of it, and, you know, what are you going to do? Anyway, so wedding in Milwaukee was a trip to Wisconsin. So I don't know if you guys have any example of this in your life, because maybe it's, again, going back to my somewhat odd upbringing, but I didn't think it was odd because it was my only upbringing. But I basically have decided at the age of 53 that I was so wrong about Milwaukee my whole life. And I think it was, first of all, when you grow up, you don't have any money. And so your idea of, you know, your college age and you and the boys are going to go somewhere for a meal, you would like opt into fast food. Like that was what you wanted to do. You didn't want to go find great restaurants. And you also would only make fun of each other if one of you said, hey, let's go find an awesome park or let's go find a path along the Lake Michigan.
Yeah. You guys want to go for a walk?
They would. Like, you'd all just beat each other up for claiming you'd want to take a walk by the lake. But, you know, when you get older in life, you realize that, no, being outside in nature is actually enjoyable, and good meals are wonderful, and maybe having a drink with a friend overlooking Lake Michigan is a nice thing to do.
Yep.
And I don't know, man. Like, I grew up in Wisconsin. Now, I did not grow up in Milwaukee, so when people ask me, hey, what's the playbook in Milwaukee? I'll tell you. I have figured it all out in the last couple of years. And somehow I spent like 50 years being a horrible ambassador for Milwaukee. Partly because I didn't know. I didn't live there. I would go to 100 Brewers games and 100 Bucks games, but each time the game is 2.5 hours and you're only in the city for three. And you'd like go hit a Culver's or a McDonald's or an A&W. Go to the game and get out of Dodge and get home. Like, you're not paying for a hotel when you're young.
No.
And
or a decent meal.
Right. And so all you went by were anecdotes about Milwaukee. Well, my whole family I married into is in law enforcement. And if you ask any law enforcement people about any city, they only know
the crime statistics.
The horrible parts of it. Like, yeah, Dahmer. Yeah. And, oh, no, there was another killing there. And all these, you know, I certainly love my family filled with law enforcement, but they don't review any city well. Like, every city, they know the underbelly. They know where the bad guys are, and that's kind of their career. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing for law enforcement to be aware of crime, but it's also not part of the tourism board. I went there this weekend, and we got an Airbnb within 5 minutes of Lake Michigan, a five-minute walk, a one-minute drive. And you're in the downtown vibrant scene, and everybody's out, and everybody's walking their dog or bike riding, and these shade-filled shoreline, you know, parks, and just...
It's awesome.
What a awesome city. And what's hilarious about it is It's one of the last U.S. cities I've discovered, even though I grew up 50 miles from there.
Isn't that wild? So I've only spent a couple of weekends there, and but both of them have been in the summer, because why would you go in the winter?
Exactly.
And it's pretty and clean and well-kept and quaint, and like you said, the nature angle of it all, it's so cool.
I mean, it's massively renovated. Massively. It didn't look like that when I was in high school, I promise.
There weren't a bunch of bars around Milwaukee County Stadium.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's grown up wonderfully, and now there's all these amazing little areas. You know who really turned me on to Milwaukee was Falwell, because he is forced to go to Milwaukee every year, and he, of course, makes the best of it. And, you know, anyway, I thought that was hilarious, is that one of the last states I've really looked at as a, I guess, affluent 50-something white guy was the one I'm from. And it's awesome.
Dude.
And it's awesome. Now, I don't know if I'd want to live there.
You had it slotted.
Yeah, I did. I did. And I'm like, you know, it's like Detroit, but on the other side of the, you know, Lake Michigan. And it's just, I don't know. It's dirty and it's kind of gross and Dahmer and crime. And
Dahmer.
You know, but it's great. Now, again, it's probably great for less than 6 months a year. But we stayed at some old Victorian house, Airbnb, and that was wonderful. And again, you're out there taking walks everywhere, and it's cool restaurant scene and just really, really cool hotels that, you know, where the wedding venue was. And
like that neighborhood that we stayed in at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Again, that was a nice neighborhood.
Right.
Like Giannis lived around the corner.
We always recommend go to the nice neighborhoods and cities.
But it's so pretty.
Yeah.
Dallas has, I mean, even if you want to consider Highland Park as, you know, the nicer area down here, these places, whatever that neighborhood was.
Right.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And
with the huge properties and yards and.
Now they have Summerfest there, and they also have a bunch of other like ethnic festivals. I think there was an Irish one going on this weekend, but everybody's outside. And like I said, they pay for it in January and February. But just a wonderful weather weekend in Milwaukee. And then the Brewers weren't home. But that whole city is just so Brewer Gaga right now. And on Friday, they were trying to tie the franchise win record. 13. They had never won 13 in a row. So they had won 12 on Wednesday, and then Friday they were in Cincinnati. And so we're all at the wedding, and everybody's looking at the Brewers score, and everybody cares, which is so weird. Like, if you follow a team where, and then you live somewhere where literally you never see anybody in a Brewers shirt except Ty, and you're like, I don't, you know, if you see like a girl wearing a Brewers hat, you would think, what just happened here? There's
yes.
No such thing. Well, they obviously, the girls are casually wearing Brewers gear down there, and it's a weird thing. And it's not bad, by the way. You know,
sure.
You know, my wife grabbed a Brewers hat, and, you know.
Pretty cool.
It works. Anyway, so we get to the wedding dinner before the dance or whatever, and it's 8-1 Reds. And the Miz was pitching, and he got shelled. And it's 8-1 Reds in the second inning. And so everybody's like, ah, well, who cares? Let's have some more drinks or whatever. And it's a wedding night. You know, there's worse things.
Don't let the Brewers ruin this wedding.
There's worse things than a 12-game win streak ending at a wonderful wedding. And then look at the phone an hour later. It's 8-8. And now, I'm not saying everybody was now distracted by the game, but your boy was. And now, let's go get number 13.
Heck yeah.
And it's just a wonderful night out there. It's cool. And I went outside, and a couple other people were out there, and you're around a table away from the dance for just a little while.
Hitting your vape.
Watching them close out a 10-8 win, and it's a franchise record, and the city was loving it. And then the next day, they go get 14 in extra innings, and the city is just like,
was 13 free burgers?
12 was free.
Okay, so yeah. That was already locked up.
Yes.
Did you get a free burger while you were there?
It's Wednesday. And 2 days from now, if you're up in Milwaukee, go get yourself a free burger at George Webb's. But they're a team that I've followed my whole life, and I've definitely wandered off from them because they're just such lovable losers. And yet, over the last, 7 years, they go to the playoffs every year. Every year.
They do.
Like 6 out of 7 now. And it's going to be 7 out of 8. And it doesn't make any sense because they don't spend any money on players and they keep losing their good players and they keep winning. And yes, it's somehow the story of baseball is that the Brewers are on a run where I think they're 40 and 10 in their last 50.
It's insane, dude.
Like they don't lose.
No.
Like, they just killed the Cubs again today, and...
Even when they're not winning 14 in a row or whatever, they're winning 9 of 10. I feel like they've done that
it doesn't make
four
sense.
Times in the last month.
Yeah, I think they have 3 different 10-game win streaks this season. Shout-out to Matthew Small, who says, "Hi, I'm a longtime ticket listener. I won't bore you with a huge backstory and telling you how much I love the show, but I assume that it's understood and you hear it all the time. I do listen daily and heard you guys mention you're going to the Rangers-Brewers game in a couple weeks. Well, I'm from Texas, spent most of my life in Austin and Dallas. I'll skip the long story, but I'm now director of digital for the Milwaukee Brewers. That basically means I oversee everything they do online."
Wow.
And he goes on and on, but he wanted to send us a care package.
Heck yeah.
Because he wants to know if you guys are part of my brew crew.
All in.
I mean, we need something to look forward to this fall.
I'm all in.
Well, we have a Brewers box of goodies from Matthew, who is so nice to us that he wants to establish a hardline brew crew.
I'm in.
Love it.
Thank you, Matthew.
Are you going to show us what he brought?
We can do that, or we can do it on the other side, or we can do it during the break. But
okay.
We have a Brewers care package here.
I love it. What's his name? Matthew?
That's Matthew Small.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks for
listening. Wow, a nice box.
Look, a nice gift box.
Wow. Unbelievable.
It's Instant HSOs on the Big Damn Deal of the Day. Tomorrow at 1:30 during Bob's The World. Sweet Spot Bob's on Sports World. Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Tin.
NFL Bob's World.
Bob's World is brought to you by
American Leak Detection.
Here is Bob.
All right, I had a extended version of this, but the Cowboys documentary won, so this is going to be short. But in Milwaukee, I did something else I haven't done up there before, but it's been up there the whole time. Do you know what?
So you spent the entire weekend, this past weekend, in the actual city. You didn't go home?
No, we did. We did one trip home.
Okay.
One trip,
but the majority of it was
lake.
In the city.
Yeah. Three nights in the city and enough time to get around a little bit and see things. And do you have any idea what Milwaukee is known for in the non-beer category? Like everybody says, okay, beer, Laverne and Shirley, Happy Days, cheese, brats. Okay. So take out the food. And do you know of any industry that Milwaukee is famous for from a, production standpoint?
No, because we were up in Kohler, and that's toilets.
Yes.
But that's too far away.
There's a very, very well-attended museum up there that I had never gone to until Sunday.
Which one?
The Harley-Davidson.
Yes.
Did you know that's Milwaukee?
Now that you say it, I remember.
I had no idea.
Well, yes, and the reason is that in 1903, Bill Harley and Arthur Davidson.
No relation. I want to say.
Yes.
It sounds better when you put their names together. Like if it was Arthur Davidson motorcycles, no one would buy those.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Bill Harley and Arthur Davidson were two chaps in their early 20s who had real jobs. I think they worked at a machine shop, which sounds horrible. But to all those who work in a machine shop, I bet you it's fulfilling and great. But they said, you know, we're here at the machine shop all day making machines. Or do we have machines that make machines? I don't even know.
Who I think say? They're machining parts for machines.
Ooh, there you go. There you go. Well, on the side, what if we try to motorize this bicycle? Because I guess bicycles, late 1880, 1890s, yeah. All this pedaling.
Right? It's a lot.
I don't
sweating,
know, man.
They had just
figured out how to make a bicycle with wheels the same size.
Right.
Like, it took them a long time to figure that out.
Right. So what's the next step? Well, of course, the next step is, what if we can put a motor on this thing? Because in precisely 1903, the year that Harley Davidson was born, is also the year the Ford Motor Company was happening right across Lake Michigan, which, of course, automobiles, like the birth of the automobile.
Yeah.
So it's all happening. Like, we're figuring out that horses, first of all, you have to feed them. Second, they die, you know, disease and problems. You know.
They poop.
Yeah, right. You got to clean all that up.
Right. And if we could just figure out cars and motorbikes, you don't have to feed them. Yeah, fuel, yes, but they don't need hay and all these things. And so that's kind of the start of things. And so then Arthur brings in his brother Walter. And I want to say there's even a third Davidson kicking around. So we got three Davidsons and a Harley. And before long, man, it might have been 5 years, and they're cranking out motorcycles at a rate that is incredible. Like, it went from we made three this year to we made 1,500.
I was going
to
say, so they were insta wealthy. Like, it worked.
It seems like they were doing
very,
very, very, very well. And then what really made, do you guys know what really made it take off?
Racing?
World Wars.
Oh.
So,
wow.
So they got the military contracts, because again, whether it be World War I, but especially World War II, we got to get our troops mobile. And again,
horses die.
We can't put all these horses, you know, on boats. We've got to. So it turned into a huge thing that not only police and post office and Western Union stateside, but then the entire military was ordering thousands and thousands of motorbikes, especially in World War II, and so much so that civilian production stopped, and because we got to get our boys, we got to get our troops outfitted, so we're going to hold off on your order, sir, for your motorbike. And then when the war was over, a lot of dealers reacquired all these Harleys and then sold them to the public as former World War II bikes that now you can add this to your collection. So
did they have the original patent for the motorbike?
I feel like they if you want to talk to somebody who knows nothing about how vehicles work, you have found the right guy. Now, as they're taking us on the tour, which is mostly, there's no guide, so you're reading and trying to figure it out. They got these twin 45s is the Harley Davidson trademark sort of thing. The signature, which is, was it the two cylinders at a 45 degree angle, which makes that perfect Harley sound. And so I know that was their thing, and they had modifications off that all the way to, you know, this bike was called the Knucklehead because of this feature here, and this bike over here, this is why they started calling them the Hogs, and just whatever. Again, it is like reading Chinese for me on how motorcycles work and the nuances between them all. But of course, as time goes on, they become this company that gets into the blood of enthusiasts to where they feel weird ever leaving the brand.
Yes, which is the key to any successful business.
Correct.
Brand loyalty.
Right. So for us, for me,
the ticket.
I'm absolutely Nike and Apple and all that sort of thing, but for a Harley guy, he wouldn't be caught dead in
a Kawasaki,
in a un-Harley, because they're friends. Like, they're the chapters, the clubs, the people they meet, the knowing nod. It's based on I ride a Harley, you know, I'm part of this Harley thing. So I guess it's a big part of the Wisconsin culture, but again, almost like my entire lack of regard for Milwaukee as a city until this time. Also, I grew up there, and it never really occurred to me that it's a Wisconsin product.
I had no idea until right now. I had no idea. I'm not a motorcycle guy, but I had no clue.
So, yeah, so my son is not a motorcycle guy, but he does think Harley stuff is cool.
Yeah.
Like the gear,
it is.
The shirts, yeah, whatever. The just how they do things. And so he wanted to take the tour, and we all went on it and enjoyed it very much, and found out, of course, the 120 years in Milwaukee, and of course all of the fingers, all tentacles all over the world, because Harley does cut through ethnic lines, through cultural lines. Like, they sell tons of them overseas. And then the conventions, the rallies up in Sturgis, and just all of the stuff that has made this thing just this out of control company that is, you know, just.
Is it still as huge as we think it is?
I believe it is.
I think it is.
I believe it just keeps going up and up and up because they never really lose customers. Now, I could be totally wrong about that, but I do believe it is a massive, massive heavyweight, because we always meet, you know, there are golf guys and there are hunting guys, but there are also Harley guys who that's what they want to do. And often they marry a Harley girl and they hit the road for the summer or something like that, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not a world I'm super familiar with, but for 2 hours, I took the tour and went to the museum. It's great.
Did it show you, like, how much those first models cost?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, they were actually more than a Model T at first. And so if you wanted the Harley.
Maybe like $3,000 or something?
I mean, well, no, the first, here's the first motorcycle truck for, like, deliveries, and it's $400.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I mean, so we're pretty early in the game here, but it's definitely outside of my world, but it was a great museum and kind of a cool thing up there in Wisconsin culture. So I'll give you the abbreviated version, but you were right about the racing and they were really big into hill climbing, which is exactly what it sounds like. Let's see if this motorcycle can get up this hill.
Yeah.
Or if the motorcycle tips over on top of all of us and we get hurt. And they had models from pretty much every year. They have an archive with all the old bikes and a shop up there where they're constantly, you know, rotating them and keeping them in fine working order. Hundreds and hundreds of bikes. And so if you ever get up there, you might want to try out the old Harley-Davidson Museum up in Milwaukee. It was fun.
Awesome.